Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. What does a television producer do? We're about to find out. Sabrina Clay, a three-time Emmy Award-winning producer, is my guest today. Before joining the Dr. Oz Show as a segment producer in 2013, Sabrina was supervising producer of the weekend edition of the Today Show. She spent 14 years at NBC News in various positions, covering Super Bowls, presidential elections, plane crashes, trials, and on and on. On the entertainment side, Sabrina has worked the Oscar, Golden Globes, and Emmy red carpets, as well as on numerous TV and film sets. Initially, Sabrina thought she'd be a lawyer, but the lure of meeting extraordinary people and sharing their stories pulled her in a different direction. So after graduating from Oberlin, she went to American University in Washington, D.C., and got her master's in broadcast journalism, and the rest, as they say, is history. Sabrina, welcome, and thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here.
So I'm guessing, and this is basically a no-brainer, that most people would like to meet and work with extraordinary folks, but that doesn't mean that they do. So how did you make that work for you?
There's a long story of how I got there. First of all, I went to school to become a lawyer, and I thought that would be the thing. But while at Oberlin, you know, I went with I had friends who were more the creative type than I thought I was at the time. And one of them was an actor. And she wanted to audition for a local play on school campus. And she had me come along with her. And it's the classic story. I went there and, you know, somewhat the director's like, well, can you just help read that? And I read it. And next thing I know, I had a part in the play as well. And I was like, what?
You never, ever had that design,
no,
did you?
I didn't. I always said I was a shy person. Hmm. Now, no one ever believed me. Mm-hmm. But I always felt like I was shy, so I never looked for things that, you know, would put me in front and center and the main person on stage or anything. So I was shocked by that, but I did it. I liked it.
Were you any good?
I was very good. We did plays in Oberlin is in Ohio,
yes.
And we did plays. We're very close to Cleveland, so mm-hmm. we would do plays in Cleveland, and I would give very good reviews. But at the same time, I was a little thin-skinned to really be in the business because, you know, it's so subjective. They can like you, they can not like you because you're too short,
mm-hmm.
you're too big, you're
mm-hmm.
too thin,
oh,
you're this,
God.
You doesn't look,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, could I take that? And then I would see on certain nights when we'd be performing, you know, we'd be doing something that may be a dramatic monologue or dramatic thing, and people would be laughing at other actors and their performance. And I was like, well, how rude is that, you know?
You mean laughing as in making fun of?
As in making fun of.
Because they were not being funny.
They were not being funny. They weren't getting what was supposed to be happening or whatever it was. And I would see people really dejected. Some of the performers really dejected by that. Like, come off stage and be like, why were they laughing, you know? And I was thinking again, I don't know if I'm cut out for this because I've poured my heart and soul out into, you know, this monologue or this line, and they just totally didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this, but it started me on the path of like, maybe I'm more creative than I thought, you know, but I still was going to be a lawyer. But on the side, I was going to start to look into that part of myself again. So I found some professors at Oberlin. There was no longer a communications department. At one point in their history, there was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no longer that anymore. But some of the professors were still there.
What were you initially majoring in?
I was majoring in political science.
Okay, so it wasn't liberal arts.
It wasn't liberal arts.
Okay.
I was majoring in political science.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but some of those professors were still around, moved in different places, in
mm-hmm.
different, you know, departments and things. So I did an independent study. Because some of the equipment was still around, you know, and I did an independent study, really just getting into sort of telling stories in journalism. And I thought this might be something I'd want to do.
Well, what do you mean the equipment was still around?
Like cameras. They still had cameras. They still had.
So you could do video.
I can do video. Yeah, I can do video and learn all of that. Learn how to shoot. Learn how, you know, proper formatting for all that. So I started doing that. And I realized I kind of liked that, too. So it was my senior year. My parents had no idea. I was still, as far as they knew, going to, you know, law school.
They didn't realize they were now wasting their money on you.
I was completely done with that. I mean, that was so not what I was going to do
mm-hmm.
at all. you know, and it was actually there during graduation week where I told them, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to law school. I think I want to do television. I didn't know what I wanted to do with television, but I said television, not journalism at the time. I said television. I think I want to do television.
What year is this?
Ooh, maybe 92.
Okay, just so we get some kind of context here.
Yeah. And so they were like, not really happy, to be perfectly honest, not the plan. And what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to make a living doing that? Whatever.
What are you going to repair TVs, for God's sake?
Exactly. But while I was at undergrad, without them knowing, I managed to get an internship at WTTW, Your Window to the World. This is a PBS station in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was paid, so I thought that would make them feel better. It wasn't a lot, but it was paid, and I was going to move to Chicago. So they were still going to have to help. But I knew that long as there was some money coming in, they wouldn't.
You're not going to starve.
Right. And they would be okay with that.
Yeah.
So my mom was like, okay, let's see where this goes, you know? So I went to Chicago and it was great.
What did you do there? Did you get coffee?
I didn't get coffee. I was a PA.
Okay.
I ran scripts.
Production assistant.
Mm-hmm. I ran scripts. I did research and I went out on shoots after my paid internship at WTTW.
And you were there for how long?
I was there. It was just a year paid. But I realized this is really what I want to do. I want to be in television. I want to be in production. And I like news. I've always liked news.
So you didn't, unlike the acting that you experimented with at Oberlin, you didn't want to be in front of the camera.
I wanted to be an anchor. I didn't want to do the work to get to be an anchor. I didn't want to be a reporter in the smaller markets and work my way up, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if I could have gotten a job as an anchor, I was there, you know? So I still sort of, I wasn't completely not against being in front of the camera, but I realized the power was really behind the camera. I realized that. And the money was in front, but the power was behind.
Yeah, but let me ask you something, and it just dawned on me. What about the whole concept of being an African-American woman and being in front of the camera? Mm-hmm. What was that like back then? You didn't have a whole lot of role models, right?
But you know what? I was in, when all of this was really starting to really gel for me. One, I was in Chicago. There were a couple anchor women in local news in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Oprah was in Chicago. You knew the story of where she came from
as a
reporter, anchor person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I grew up in Washington, D.C. There were a lot of, there was Renee Poussant. I don't know if she's still there. There was J.C. Hayward, who I know a couple years ago was still on the air at local news. So I did see people who I thought, you know what, I can do this. It wasn't foreign to me at all that I could do this. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got started really on the road to becoming in journalism. And what happened was after that year and a half, I tried to get a job at Harpo like everybody else in Chicago. And I got like 3 callbacks, but ultimately did not get the job. So my mom said, look, you got to make a choice. You either come home, go to school, further your education, or you get a job that can support yourself. You know, we can't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I couldn't find a job. I did a little freelance work around Chicago, but, you know, I still needed their help. So I decided to come home and get the foundation because I never had the journalism foundation. Remember, I did independent study at Oberlin. And so I did that and I got into American University's journalism program. So I did that and I think that program, maybe a little over a year, not more than a year and a half.
You were a full-time student.
Yeah, I was a full-time student. And that's after that, there was a professor at American who had some ties, I don't know, or knew about. No, he knew about, at that time, there was a lot going on about editorial and network news. Like there wasn't a lot of people of color in the editorial part making decisions. So that was a big issue. And NBC had a program that was the News Associates program. And it was completely designed to bring minorities and, you know.
And women?
And women and people with disabilities, everybody in as part of the editorial process. I ended up getting it, you know, and they brought me to New York. And so I was like, I'm going to New York. And I went to New York at NBC, and I've been there. Sandy, it was my only real job. So that's why I've been there. I was there for so long. I had my paid internship in Chicago. I did a little freelance stuff. And then I'm at NBC, and I sort of grew up there.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Sabrina Clay, who is a segment producer for the Dr. Oz show. Okay, so you come to the Big Apple and you're with NBC and then for all intents and purposes, really cut your teeth in TV?
Absolutely.
It was on the job training.
It was on the job training. And you weren't an intern anymore. We were a news associate, but you were like at NBC, most people, you know, in TV, you can go towards technical or the, you know, editorial side. So editorial, most people start at assistant producers, and then you become an associate producer and a producer and blah, blah, blah. NBC, we call those assistants, or at least on the Today Show, they call the assistants researchers. So I was, for all intents and purposes, a researcher. Even though I didn't have the title, I was a news associate. So I researched.
And your job was with the Today Show.
No, this program, News Associates program, you spent half the year, 6 months in one place and 6 months in another place, because it's really about finding your niche. Where is it that you're going to be happiest and that they can use you best? So my first rotation was at the New York News Bureau, and I did that for 6 months. And then I went over to my next 6 months was at the Today Show. And that was the goal, because my family, I grew up with the Today Show on in my house. So that was a big deal. I think that was the point where my mom was like, this may actually work. You know what I mean?
Right. This, newfound respect.
Exactly. This may actually work. And so I always knew I wanted to work on the Today Show. And then when my second rotation was today, the Today Show, everything was great, but it wasn't. I may have been there 2 months. And I was like, I feel like I'm doing busy work. You know, at that time, the Today Show was a well-oiled machine. Everybody.
So they didn't really need you.
They didn't really need me. And I felt the things that
How are the hosts spent then?
Katie Couric and Matt Lauer.
Right.
But Jeff Zucker was the executive producer who was amazing. But it was a well-oiled machine. They didn't need me. And I felt like I was doing busy work, which meant I wasn't learning anything and I wasn't doing anything that mattered. So the funniest thing is I asked the program, like, I need to be moved. I need to do something else. People are like, what? Nobody else. I need to be moved. I want to contribute. And I don't feel
and
like
I'm bored.
I don't feel like I'm contributing here. So they moved me to a couple different shows. I went over to MS for a little while, MSNBC. It was fine. But I always knew at the end of this year, I wanted to work at the Today Show. I wanted to be an integral part of that staff. And no one out of this program had ever gotten a job at the Today Show. They had gone, a lot of people were going to Dateline because at that time, Dateline was on like 5 nights a week, you know, so they were putting a lot of people on Dateline and some on, I think, Nightly News may have had one or two in the past. But I wanted to go on the Today Show and people were like, you're not going to get a job on the Today Show. They don't hire the news associates. And then they were like, and you quit when you were there, you know, the time you were there, you didn't even stay. And my thought was, they won't remember me. I didn't do anything. They won't remember me.
I didn't leave a mark.
Exactly. They won't remember me.
I wasn't there long enough.
Exactly. So I was like, just if we could just set something up with Jeff Zucker, you know, I would.
Oh, ballsy broad, Sabrina.
Yeah, I was like, I just set it up. I can go in there and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, okay, fine. So I remember vividly, I walk into his office and he's looking down. You know, he didn't look up. He was like, what can I do for you? Never looked up. So I had my spiel ready because, you know, I knew I was going to have to say something.
You're going to have to sell yourself in about like 60
myself.
Seconds
exactly.
or something.
So I started talking and doing my thing. And then he looks up. All he says was, weren't you the one that quit? And I was like, oh, crap. Here we go. This is now I'm screwed, for lack of a better word.
Right.
You know, but I don't know what it was. I kept talking and whatever I was saying, he bought. And he was like, eventually he was like, okay, I'll give you a shot. And I got hired as a researcher on the Today Show. That's sort of equivalent to assistant producer. He hired me and I've been there ever since.
So
was there for, you know.
Just to sort of, in just a little bit put it in perspective, and I could be very wrong with this, is a researcher basically the lowest rung?
For the editorial side,
right?
If it's like equivalent to a production assistant, a PA,
right? There's nobody, but maybe a page might be below you.
There's
okay,
nobody
so over the course of time, obviously they saw that you had something, and you got moved along.
Yes.
So the trajectory was the fairly normal steps
for
researcher, and then comes what?
Then comes associate producer, and then comes producer, and then comes supervising producer. And at that moment is when I left, after I was supervising.
All right. Now, this is, I said this in the introduction. If you ever watch credits, particularly on a TV show, there are 89 names for a producer.
Right.
And I, Now, granted, I've been in radio, mm-hmm. not in television, but I was always just sort of fascinated. What the hell do all of you people do? I'm hard-pressed for me to answer that. Mm-hmm. So that's now your job. Is there just all this overlap? Is it just top-heavy with producers? I mean, what do you do?
It's not, you know, it's different. Being a producer at a news show like the Today Show is different from being a producer at like a Dr. Oz show.
Okay, and you're going to give us the contrast. First you're going to do the Today Show because that's where you...
That's where I learned everything.
And that was news.
And that was news. I did mostly, I mean, the Today Show is now 4 hours and there's so many hours and things going on there, but it's still in the news division. And I did, for majority of my career, was like the 7 to 8:45, which is mostly the news
part, that segment.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
right.
That's the time that I did.
And then they go into the ridiculous.
Then they go into other things.
Oh, God. Yeah,
but there wasn't, you know, if you think about it, Sandy, you're thinking about a live, let's just say 2 hour show. For traditionally, the Today Show was 7 to 9. So you think 2 hours, however many segments are within that time. Let's say you do 3 or 4 segments a half hour. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot of segments. And they're all, you know, potentially different topics. There's not a lot of we'll be back after commercial and continue this same topic. You're moving from story to story to story to story. So that's a lot of segments. So you do need different producers to do that, because even though you guys, you know, people watching say that was 4 minutes, 5 minutes, back in the day when I was there, we could do an 8 minute interview. You know, people don't do much of that now on morning shows, but we would do that. So that required a lot of research, a lot of thinking about the questions, like what questions you're going to ask the person, because we do, as producers, we do all that. We write a background note, do all the research, tell the anchor everything they need to know from whether or not this person is a good talker or a bad talker. You may have to interrupt. You may have to do this because they may go on and on. You know, we get all the sources for you to be able to follow up.
So it's Feed Me, Seymour.
Things. Yes. And then we write suggested questions for them, sort of to give a guide. We do the pre-interview with the guests. You know, we determine the graphics and the elements. If there's going to be video rolling in, is whether it's B-roll or actual SOT, you know, sound on tape rolling in. As producers, we sort of determine sort of the focus of the interview.
So in this 7 to 8:45 mm-hmm. block, mm-hmm. on a daily basis, mm-hmm. you had, and for lack of a better word, one event mm-hmm. per day.
Sometimes two, but mostly one.
And they would be mostly interviews.
Yeah, they would be mostly
interviews.
So
it might be a little backstory then with a live interview.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then I did also, though, I did tape too. So I was a tape producer as well, which meant I went and shot interviews in the field, mm-hmm. doing the same sort of process, but in the field, then come back and sit and write a script, then sit in an edit room and edit that.
Now, was your forte Jennifer Aniston or Dick Cheney?
Ah, that's so interesting. I'm one of those rare breeds that I love my entertainment as much as I love my politics. So it could be either one.
It could be on any given day.
That was one of the things that I was always proud of, that my bosses would say I was flexible that way. I wasn't just hard news. I could also flip it and do the entertainment as well.
Did you do a lot of traveling?
I did a lot of traveling.
For example, recently there was a story about a police officer in Chicago mm-hmm. who said that, you know, they were investigating his case as being shot by a suspect, but he committed suicide.
Exactly.
So ostensibly, you could go to Fox
Absolutely.
Lake, Chicago, get backstory, talk, you know, have interviews.
Typically how that would work, yes, is like, you know.
You'd use the affiliate there?
Sometimes we use the affiliate, but, you know, when you're at network, sometimes they can send you might use affiliate crews or whatever, but there has to be. They still would send a lot of, like, the producer, maybe an anchor would come, depending on how big the story
sure.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the crew would actually come from New York as well, because there are certain ways we like to shoot that, you know, you may not have the time.
Well, you also must feel the incredible pressure of the competition. You know, it's
oh,
it's
my,
about,
God,
oh my God,
Sandy.
Good Morning America is ahead
oh
of
my,
us.
The, and... One of my worst stories ever was there was a woman in California. And her daughter and a friend were found in the trunk of the car, having been, they were burned and you know, killed and found in the trunk of the car. I was sent there to cover that story for the show, particularly to get an interview with the woman's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandy, I went there and I always felt that I wasn't good in these situations because I was affected by that. And I'm like, I can't be that, you know, whatever.
Objective.
Because this is tough stuff. And I used to tell my boss, like, I may not be the best person for this. And one of them would always say, you're precisely the person for this because you're going to empathize with them and they're going to open up to you. And that was so true. But I was there and we were doing this interview. The mother agreed to do the interview. We had set up in a hotel conference room that night before. It was one of not my first big ones, but it was a big interview. Everybody was trying to get the story. And so we had set up the night before because we're going to be live when Today Show is live on the East Coast at 7 o'clock. So if I'm on the West Coast, that's 4 a.m. We're still live. So we had set up the night before in this room. Everything was ready. We went to sleep. We come in like 3 o'clock, 2:30 that morning. All of our equipment is outside the room. It's been packed up and put outside. And everybody is flipping out. And one of the competing networks had told the people that we had canceled and that they were going to be doing the interview. And I hate to admit this, I cried because I was like, what are we going to do?
Gotcha, huh?
But of course, you know what? You do what you got to do. My cameraman was like, you got to figure this out. At 4 o'clock, it's 4:07, we're going live. You got to figure this out. So I went to the hotel after like really giving it to him, like, how dare you let people do that? You didn't call me and ask me if that were true. You just let them do it. And so they found us another room, you know, and all this. We immediately set up as quickly as possible. I called the mother. She was like, I thought that was that because I thought we had a good report. I thought you would call me to say if the show had canceled. And so we did it. But that competition is tough. And back then, it was really tough because back then, we were number one, so everybody was coming for us, and they were coming
gunning
hard.
For you.
Yeah. I mean, they were coming hard, and it was tough. That was hard for me.
Again, if you're just joining us, my guest today is a TV producer, Sabrina Clay. I want to switch gears a little bit because we don't have a whole lot of time left. So I say in my intro that you've worked the Oscars, the Golden Globes, and the Emmy red carpets. We'll get to Dr. Oz in a second. But you did those events as a producer for the weekend today?
As a producer for the Today Show before
I moved
to weekend.
So what the hell was that like working? I mean, yes, you worked with egos, but I mean, this must be, this must be a whole other ball
game. That's a whole other level. I loved it and in the initial early years, and then it did become tough because it became difficult. You know, those big moments, Oscars, Emmys, whatever, they're great, but you don't know what goes into them. Like for the Oscars, you're there, you're made to be there like 4 hours before the show, and you're just sitting there, but you have to be on site in your position like 4 hours before the show. So, and they have a dress code. So you're dressed to the nines and you're sitting there for 4 hours before anything starts. My job as a producer, I had a correspondent, an entertainment correspondent, and my job was to get these celebrities to her so she can talk to them, whispering in her ear in case she didn't know, this is blah, 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 you know, and she has this, knowing everything about him. She has a new movie coming out. She's nominated for this, blah, 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 doing it.
You're working your ass off, aren't you?
You're just really working hard. And remember, these shows usually air on a Sunday night. We're turning it around for that first story Monday morning.
That too.
So then I'm running, leaving there after the show's over, running to the station. I didn't even write scripts at that point. I was putting the script together with the editor as we're looking at it. There was no, you know, I remember one boss who was like, can you send your script? No, I'm putting it together as we're doing it because we're not going to make air if I sit there first, look at all, you know, log all the interviews and do that. I don't have time for that.
Was that an enjoyable part of your job? Somehow, I just think working with all these egos, like on a red carpet.
Yeah.
I mean, and I say this not out of jealousy, but just kind of, ugh, you know.
Well, you know what? On those big days, they're kind of on their best behavior.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Those are the days where they want to be looked at like they're at the top of their game. You know, it's all a craft and all of that stuff. It's the other times when you're on the movie sets and all that, when you deal with the egos, when they're keeping you waiting 3 or 4 hours and walk in and don't bother to say, I'm so sorry. Just assume that you're just going to wait for me.
Yeah, because
that annoyed
you're
me
not
to no
me.
End. Exactly.
Yeah.
That annoyed me. And that's when I started to ask, yeah, I'm tired of this. I got to get out of this. And then I went, you know, and they were like, okay, you sure? I was like, yeah, because those things are considered perks. You know, when you go to the Oscars, you go.
Yes. Those What's wrong with you, Sabrina?
Exactly. Those are the perks. Everybody's dying to go. But after doing it years, you're like, I can do something else now.
So speaking of doing something else, you do. And you go to Dr. Oz.
I go to Dr. Oz.
So this is a ridiculous question, but are you happy there? Are you happy that you made the transition, which is pretty different from being
It's very, very different. I am happy. I wanted to, you know, like I said, after I've only had one job, which was at NBC and the Today Show. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it's time to do something different.
So this was your decision to leave.
This was my decision to leave. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they were like, really? You want to leave? You don't want to move to some other division of NBC News? And at that time, I was like, nah, I want to try something completely different. Now, I thought, also, I was like, I want to work in a different part of the city. I've been in this city now 14 years. I've only worked one place, you know, so I thought I would end up working downtown, working some other place. Turns out connected. The buildings are connected underground. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm happy there. It's very different. And it was a challenge at first. But I think I've gotten to know. I did tape for a little while, which is, again, what I feel my strongest suit is because I'm not a control freak, but tape, I can control a little bit better. At the end of the day, when I give you this 3 or 4 minute piece, I know what's in it. I know whether it's good or bad. I know, you know, all about it. With studio and with live at the Today Show, but, you know, Dr. Oz isn't live, but with studio, everybody else has to play a role in order for your vision to come to fruition. You know, the graphic person has to do what they need to do on top of it. Everybody has a role to play. And
you're all codependent.
A codependency. With the tape at the end, like I said, I have the full story. Here it is, complete package. Mm-hmm. Done. I know what's in it. So I like tape better, but, you know, studio is fine too. And I'm enjoying it. It's a whole different thing. I don't know if I would be able to work at another talk show. I like the fact that we're health and information related. You know, I like
You're providing
that.
A service, you
I'm
mean?
Providing a yeah. service. You know, I like that.
So on a daily basis, just like as in the Today Show, it's one, for lack of a word, one segment you do?
That's different. No, there are times I've been on with the show, I've done 4 segments.
For show?
For, like, maybe, yeah. Or, like, you know, we tape two shows 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. I can maybe do 3 in 1 show, 3 stories in 1 show, and then 1 or 2 in another show. And that's a lot.
You're working really hard.
Yeah, that's a lot. But you know what? It's
He's an hour?
He's an hour show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's manageable. It's once you get a system down, and I'm all about systems. Once I got my system down, I can manage it a little better. But, you know, it's tough because it's a production. It's a constant. You're constantly on the wheel. Like, before I came over here, I had to get 2 scripts. I wrote 2 scripts that for next week's show. You know what I mean?
You're always ahead.
And I just had a show yesterday where I had 2 segments, you know, so I was at the studio all day. So you're constantly, it's just a constant thing. And
so intense would not be an inappropriate word.
Intense, yeah.
But for now, it works for you.
For now, it works for me. It's something different and new and it's a challenge, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it.
So, last question. If I were your fairy godmother and I said, Sabrina, what would you like to do next?
You know what? I think I would love to do, and I say this and people don't laugh, but they're like, wow. I would ultimately like to produce the Oscars. Produce the show.
Okay,
that two-hour show.
I mean, boy, does that sound like climbing Mount Everest.
It does.
Oh, wow.
But that's what I would like to do, is produce that 2-hour broadcast.
Well, here's this question then. If you do, could you get me tickets?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't have to go on the red carpet.
Absolutely.
But
Absolutely.
Okay, then that's a deal. And you said it. You heard it here first. Sabrina, it went fast because it was so interesting talking to you.
I can't believe it's over. It went so fast. I feel like I left out so many things.
Well, you'll come back. Okay. It's not a big deal. You know where we are. I know where you are. You'll come back.
I have tons and tons of stories, Sandy.
You heard it here. She'll be back for part 2. Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein, and if you have a suggestion for a guest, go to our website, www.sandyklineshow.com.